Good morning. How is everyone? Amen. And it's something to be blessed by the living God. Good to see each and every one of you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm glad you brought the Lord with you. I'm glad that you're led and taught by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He always lifts up Jesus before our eyes. I'm so grateful and thankful for that. When you pray today, remember Brother Tony and Sister Nancy. I talked to him early this morning, and he finally got her moved. You know, the care that she was getting, he wasn't satisfied with, and I understand. You know, you want the best for your loved ones, and so he finally got her moved. But she's having some problems, and so just to hold him up. He needs strength. She needs just peace, and just pray for the Lord's will to be done in that situation. If you would, open up your Bibles. We didn't do it last week, but we're back into our series, reigning, by the righteousness of God. So open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 in the Old Testament and Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament. This week, we're going to be talking about pursuing purpose by divine destiny. Pursuing purpose by divine destiny. And so the way that you and I can rule and reign in Christ by the righteousness that He has put in us, because He was made sin that we could be made righteous. We had a divine exchange. We gave Him our filthy rags righteousness, and He gave us His righteousness of God. Amen. And so, but we need to learn how to rule and reign in that. And that's where we're going in this series. And this is our fourth week. But you and I, we need to see that the whole world is having an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. And so this morning we need to ask ourselves, where am I from? You know, and where am I going? We need to know where we're from. We need to know where we're going. And we need to know that I need to know who I am. I need to know who God says I am, not what the world says, not what the flesh says, especially not what the devil says. And so we're going to address those things, and we're going to see we can answer those questions by three points this morning. We're going to talk about that you and I, we were created for a purpose. You have a purpose. Everything about your life every day has a purpose. And there's a potential in your life for every day. And the potential comes from the Lord. And then when we find our purpose and we live by the potential of the Lord, then you and I are living a lifestyle of praise. And that's what we want. We want to praise our God. And so we're going to look at those three things, but as we work through that. But let's pick it up for our series text. And hopefully next week we'll be able to preach on the series text. Here in Proverbs and Romans, but Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. If you're there, say amen. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the path of those who are justified is as the shining light, that noonday sun that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, unto us maturing, unto the sounding of the trumpet, to the coming of Christ in our lives, when we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But he said the contrast is verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not what they stumble. The way of the wicked is as darkness. So there should be no darkness in your life. There should be no darkness in my life, because Ephesians 5:8 says we once were darkness, but now we are light. Amen. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death, Hebrews 2:14 says Satan is death, for if by one man's offense, death, Satan reigned, ruled as a king by one, much more, hallelujah, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life, in this life, how? By one Jesus Christ shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we stand before you, a group of people who are hungry for your presence. We want to be in the earth as Jesus was. You said, as Jesus was, so are we. and we want to know who we are. We want to know where we came from, and we want to know and understand where we're going. We want to see our purpose, our potential, and we want to live a lifestyle of praise this morning. Would you just empower us, embolden us? Let every chain that might be on our thinking pattern, on our heart, let it be gone today. And let us walk in this truth. We pray for every person here that you'll just give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We bind every hindering spirit. We say that we are teachable. And we ask that you would touch those who are not here this morning for whatever reason. And we ask that you'd be especially with Tony and Nancy this morning and bring comfort and peace and lift them up. Let the closeness, let the anointing of the Spirit of God touch them. Remember Bradley as well, Lord. We know that you're a God that is more than enough. We lay those people specifically on your heart, but we pray for everyone, Lord, that you brought before our eyes during the night, during the midnight prayer time. Lord, thank you for it. Ask your blessing and your anointing in Jesus' name, and we all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So this morning, you and I were in a place, in a position where we see darkness abounding because sin is abounding, and that gives us great opportunity to shine light like never before. And so we need to come to that place and that position in our life that we have an assurance that we came from God. And because you and I came from God, we're going back to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. We know where we come from. We know what our destiny is. Our destiny is to live a lifestyle of praise in this life and bring as many people to Jesus, to build the family of God. And we can only do that if we know who God is. Because, see, you and I will have an identity crisis unless we know who God is. If we know God intimately through Jesus by the Spirit, then we'll be able to understand who we are. And because you can never understand who you are without that knowledge, without this Bible, without Jesus, because the truth of it is, and it may sound just a little harsh, but it's the truth. Who you are today, who I am today, is a sum of what we've believed in the past. That's why the devil always attacks the mind. He comes against the mind and he tries to put an image in you. But remember, I didn't go through it this week because we'd done it every week before. But Genesis 1:26 said that you and I were created in his likeness, in the image of God. God created us, and he created us to have dominion. He created us to be kings and priests in the earth. And so I need to see that, as we read there in Romans 5:17, that we're to reign by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because that's his will. That's his plan. And so if I believe that Jesus overcome all and he's the one that is ruling and reigning, then I can rule and reign in his name. I can rule and reign in his will, in his plan. And it's all because God said so. Not because I say so or not because I have to. It's because God has emboldened me and empowered me to do that. Amen. So let's look at some things. I want you to turn with me to the book of Timothy. And 2 Timothy. And let's look at your purpose this morning. Get an idea. In 2 Timothy, you know, Paul is talking about Timothy and how he got the knowledge put to him by Eunice and Lois, and he got the saving grace in his life, and God used Paul to lay hands on him and to pray for him, and there was gifts that was imparted in him to be an evangelist and ultimately a pastor, and so on and so forth. And so Paul starts talking to him in verse 8 for sake of time. You can read the, if you don't remember, you can reread the previous seven verses in your home study time. But in verse 8, 2 Timothy 1 and 8, Paul says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." So you and I this morning, because we have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we responded to the gospel. The devil doesn't like you. The world doesn't like you. You know, you ever been around somebody and you've never even seen that person before, but that spirit that is in them, it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, with the Holy Spirit in you. And they know that. And for no reason, they don't like you. It's not that they don't like you. They don't like the Holy Spirit in you. And so there's going to be some afflictions. There's going to be some conflict. Don't ever think in this life that that you're going to be saved and everything's just going to be perfect, because we serve a perfect one, but we're living in a fallen world. And you're going to go through things. And so Paul said he's trying to encourage Timothy and get him ready for that truth. But look what he said in verse 9. This Lord God Almighty, he's the one that does this for us. He said, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God had a plan for you. He had a plan for me before the foundation of this earth age, because they are three earth ages. They are three heaven ages. And so he had this plan. And you've been called with a holy calling. God Almighty, he knocked on your heart's door and he called you, and you made a response to that. And Paul told Timothy, and he's telling us that he called according to his own purpose. So I need to see in my life that God has a purpose for me. And I'll never be satisfied. I'll never be happy. I'll never be able to enjoy what this life is all about until I come to that place of understanding my purpose. Come on. God, he created you. He created me, and he gave us this holy calling, and he gave us a divine purpose. Now, it's so interesting. This word purpose, it means a showing forth. Actually, this word in the Greek is translated as the showbread. The showbread. Remember, Paul teaches us about that in the book of Hebrews, and reminds us what happened into the Old Testament. You know, they would bake those 12 loaves and they would put them on that show table, is what we would just say it in layman's terms. And they were show the presence of God. They were to remind the priest of that covenant. And after their time was set aside, the priest, and they partake of that bread, and that every 7 days, and that bread didn't spoil. It didn't dry out. Nothing happened to it because it was protected. It was a type of Jesus, a type of the bread of Christ. And so that was showing God's presence to the priest. Well, you and I, we are the priest of the Lord in the New Testament, the New Covenant. And so we're to look and remind ourselves of the covenant of God, that Jesus is that bread, and he created us for the purpose, and the purpose is to show the whole world that they can have a covenant with God through Jesus. That's your purpose. That's why you're here. You're here to live out the potential of the Lord and to bring a lifestyle of praise that will cause people to turn from a dark, dying, lost world to a loving, lit Lord that has a plan for their lives, to redeem them, to give them hope, to give them confidence. And so you have this purpose. And so I need to see that showbread, it always showed the covenant, it always showed the presence of God. So wherever you go, you have the assurance that you're going to be able to show people who Jesus is. You're going to be able to show them that God has a love. He has a plan. And so it's not something that you have to do, something that you have to struggle in. That's what you were created for. Come on, take any fruit tree. They don't have to struggle to produce that fruit because it's just in them. It's in their DNA. It's in your DNA to show the presence of the Lord. Amen. To show the covenant of God. The covenant of God is a love covenant. The whole world, they've been told that God is a hateful God and that God is looking to judge them and get them. God has done everything in the world to take judgment from us. I mean, you got to struggle to go to hell. Come on, you got to struggle. You got to really believe everything, every lie of the enemy, and not believe in the love of God to be able to accept what this message of the world is preaching, because their message is lies. And if anybody is believing that, then you and I need to be in the place where we just let the presence of the Lord come out of your life and believe that God will do the rest. You just be there. Come on, that covenant recognition. Now, notice what he said. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So you don't have to work it. I don't have to work it. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest. It is shining forth by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So everything is about the gospel, the good news. Brother Larry was talking Wednesday night about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and how Paul revealed to us what the gospel was. And that's what the world needs to hear. They need to hear the good news, Brother David. They don't need to hear, well, you don't need to be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. They know that. They need to know the answer to it, the solution. And the solution is the gospel, the good news that Jesus died and rose again for you and I. Amen. He committed himself completely to us. And so we need to make manifest. We need to see that our purpose is in that. So how do I do that? Drop down to verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14. This is how we make this manifest. This is how we live in this purpose. He said, hold fast the form of sound words. This is true doctrine. True doctrine in the Greek. Hold fast. Know that you own, that you possess the truth. When you accepted Jesus, he bought you. He redeemed you. But then he gave you and his very self, his own being. And so you are a part of him. He's a part of you. And so you need to hold forth this form of sound words, which you have heard of me, of Paul, he says here, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So everything about my life needs to be in faith, and it needs to operate with love. See, you know, the Bible says that in Galatians chapter 5, that my faith works by love. These are the twin powers of the covenant that we have in God. And so the way that I can live my purpose is that I just start living by faith. This moment, what God wants me to do, God, I'm fellowshipping with you, you're fellowshipping with me, you're giving me revelation and understanding that from the foundation of this earth age, you had this day in mind. And so I fellowship with him. He shows me what he would have me to do this day, even in a normal, everyday scenario. God knows that you've got to occupy till he comes. You've got things that you've got to do. But as you do those things, those are the minority and the majority. The main thing is doing what he would have us to do. So you have this covenant and you have the main thing. And when you're in that place, in that position, you're holding forth these words of sound doctrine. And you're doing it, as he said, in faith and love. So everything that you're doing, you're doing it by the power of the love of God. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love never fails. So when you're walking with these twins in your life of faith and love, you're in that place of purpose. Now, look what he said in verse 14. He said that when you're walking in that, when you're holding that, he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So you can fulfill your purpose. I can fulfill my purpose by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life. You have this intimacy. So the more that I get to know the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the more that I yield to him, the more accustomed I get to his guidance and his direction, because he is described as a dove. The Holy Spirit is so gentle, where the spirits of this world, and even the human spirit of other people, they may be abrupt or they may be pushy or whatever, but the Spirit of God is so gentle. He'll just nudge us and he'll lead us if we'll follow. He'll guide if we'll follow. And so I have this assurance here that good thing, that good news, that gospel message, that holy calling that I understand the more I get in faith and the more that I walk by love is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's my purpose. That's everything about this life. See, that takes everything out. So many people are trying to satisfy this life in that they think that it's what they drive. It's where they live. It's how they rank in the community and all of those things. That's an identity crisis. Why do you think people are having all sorts of plastic surgery? Why do you think that they won't go somewhere unless they wear certain clothes or unless they can drive a certain vehicle? All of these things. They don't know who they are. They think that it's about what people think about them. And so you and I, we've got to change this identity crisis. We've got to bring a truth to them that they were made by God. God had his hands on them. God breathed life into them. That's the intimacy. And that's the only way they'll ever come out of darkness. That's the only way they'll find satisfaction is when you and I reveal their purpose. Their purpose that they're not an accident. They're not a happenstance. But they're made by loving God with the same destiny that you and I have, only in the manner of revelation of them being intimate with God, that they're, God wants us all to be saved, but he wants us all to fulfill our calling. And it's different for everyone. Amen. Now notice what he said. He said, keep by the Holy Ghost. And in other words, you and I need to be in that place where when the enemy comes against us, when the flesh rises up, or when we feel weak in our soul or mind, will, and emotions, we say, Lord, I'm wanting to sit down here. I'm wanting to turn and take a step back. It was a little easier back here on my soul, on my flesh, but say, no, Holy Spirit, you help me. I know that you don't have, the Bible says, God said, I don't have any pleasure in somebody who backslides. We take a step back, that's backsliding. Come on. So we got to keep moving forward, inch by inch, moment by moment. Don't let anybody else push you, but let the Holy Spirit lead you. He'll empower you. Amen. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, talking about this purpose. Paul here, he talks about the gift of the grace of God in verse 7, but look what he says in verse 8. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So guess what? As much as you know Jesus this morning, there's still some things that you and I can search out. There's still some things that we can come to know. God's got some secrets. He's got some plans. He's got some revelations. He's got some anointings. He got some direction in your life. But I've got to come to my purpose before he'll give it to me. I got to see what it is. And that's what Paul did. Now look what he said. Verse 9, and to make all men see why is the fellowship of the mystery, which is the beginning of the world, that it's been hid from the beginning of the world in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He said, Paul said, the purpose that I have and the purpose that the church has is to make all mankind see. This word see is photzitzo in the Greek. It's where we get our English word photo. Remember the purpose, the showbread, to show the presence of God, to show the covenant. In other words, when people look at you, Brother Zach, they see a snapshot of who Jesus is. They see that Jesus can save. That Jesus can bring an impossible situation where the devil looks like he's going to completely destroy somebody. And Jesus says, no, step back. Oh, hallelujah. The world needs to know that. They need to see a picture of Jesus as a deliverer this morning. He's a savior, but he's a deliverer. He's the one that can do it. And so Paul says, I know what I'm supposed to do. You and I, we have to know what we're supposed to do. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Paul said, you and I need to make all mankind see Jesus and the will of the Father, but we need to let the whole world know that there is a whole government agency. There's a second government agency, which is of the devil, and there's the third heaven, that's of God the Father. And so the devil is trying to keep people from getting to that place of the third heaven. He doesn't want us to, but Jesus is the open door. Remember, he's done broke through that, and we're going through Jesus. But the whole world needs to see you're not doing what you're doing because you want to do it. You're under the influence of the spirit of this world. Come on, you're under this. See, there's a spirit that leads to death and destruction, but there's a Holy Spirit that leads to Jesus, which is life. Amen. And so people they're making bad decisions. Yes. But there's spirits there that are influencing them and leading them and guiding them and direct them. So you and I, we need to show the covenant of God that Jesus defeated all of those. He overcome all. Amen. Now look, this is how we know it. Look at verse 11. He said, according to the eternal purpose. There it is. That's that showbread. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed, different word, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my purpose is to live by the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. My purpose is I do that by the grace of God. I don't have to do it in my own strength, in my own power, that I teach other people by living example how they can live by grace. And then I show them that there's a heaven and a hell in the realization that there's a Jesus and there's a devil. Yeah. And make them realize that it's not just this world. See, so many people, I spent years talking to my grandpa on my mom's side. And his brother-in-law, they every time they'd turn to church, they'd always gang up on me. And they did not. Both of them, they'd say, when you die, you're dead. You're just like a dog. You're dead. It's over. And it took years. It took years. And I'll never forget when I got the phone call that that Uncle Bud died. And I cried. I cried. I called Brother Donnie. And I couldn't control, because I thought he was in hell. Because I'd prayed for him for years, you know. And we get to the funeral, and this guy starts preaching the funeral, and he preached him right into heaven. And I was so confused. I was so heartbroken. And you know me, I'm very low key, laid back, don't say much. But when that service was over, I went straight to him. And I said, I need to know something. I said, do you know this man? He said, yes, I know him. I said, because I've spent 15 years trying to tell him about the goodness of God and all these things. And he always told me, when you die, you're dead. And then he gets to tell me how he was going to the hospital and visiting him while he was in there taking, dialysis. And he led him to Jesus. Man. And that's how good God is. Lord. Amen. God's amazing. Even at the very last, same way with my grandfather, saved just a short time before he died. But what happened? How did that happen? Because the revelation that there's demons, that there's evil spirits, that there's a devil, but there's a Jesus that's there to save. Amen. That's who we've got to look to. And that's what we've got to realize, that when you look in somebody's face, they're not seeing you. They're seeing the countenance of grace. They're seeing the possibility of Jesus, because you're living by that purpose. Amen. All right. So let's look real quickly. Let's think about your potential. You know that you've got a purpose from the foundation of the world, but you're doing it because of your faith. You're doing it because of the love of God. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. So you need to see, I need to see my potential. I know you know these verses. We talk about them all the time, but your potential is not in who you are in the old man. It's who you are in the new man. And it's what you have renewed your mind to. Go with me to John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees here. And they think, because they had a covenant in the old sense, that they had a form of religion, but they denied the power of, that they were all right. And Jesus is trying to show them. He actually tells them, he said, your father isn't Abraham. Your father is the devil. So you're either born again and you come into the family of God, or you're not. See, and they were serving under the old covenant, but they weren't serving the intent of what God said. They had turned it into a burdensome religion. They took God's law and just added to it and done all these things. And Jesus, he said, you won't even let anybody be saved. You just keep putting more and more burdens on them. So he was upset with them. And he goes and he tells them this statement. Look at verse 30. After he teaches them the truth there in verse 30, John 8 and 30, he says, and he spake these words, and many believed on them. So you'll have to, in other words, he brought a revelation to them of who he was and what he had for them. And verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now, it's an amazing thing. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11 that all Jews, they're going to be saved. I mean, they're going to go through this tribulation period, but they're going to come to salvation, because that tribulation period is what it's going to take to get their attention. But they're going to be saved. You believe that, don't you, Brother Larry? Yes, I believe that. But so here, know that that's a type of the hardest person to get saved is somebody who's in religion. But if Jesus can save them, then he can what? Use you to get somebody saved in this world. Because there is a world religion. But so I just want you to be hopeful for that. But here's, you got to believe the potential. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, if you abide, if you live, if you have an expectancy in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So you and I, we believe this morning. And so we are a disciple of Christ. We're his pupil. We're a learner. So the Holy Spirit is keeping you. The Holy Spirit's keeping me. But he's teaching us as we live this life. And he wants us to take our examples and the things that we go through. And he wants to use that to show the covenant. Show that Jesus is real. Show that Jesus will save, that Jesus will deliver, that Jesus will do wonderful, mighty things. But it happens because you simply take Jesus at his word. So his word, that's my potential. My potential is not in my education. My potential is not in my raising. My potential is not in my standing in the world. My potential is in the grace of God. Amen. And that grace is God's word. So the more the word that I get into my life, the more I start to realize my potential. So everything that you do, you go by the word of God. You go by Jesus. And so if Jesus has said you can do something, then he's the potential. He's your source, in other words, to be able to get it done. But you've got to abide in it. You've got to expect that. You've got to hope that. You can't let your situation change the word. You let the word change your situation. Notice what he said. He said in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we need to be free, yes, born again, but we need to be made free as we walk this life showing the covenant of God. See, we thank God for salvation, but if I just stopped at salvation, I would have been saved on my way to heaven, but I'm sorry, I still had a lot of problems. And to this day, I've coming out of problems. I'm being delivered because I start knowing the truth. We abide in the truth. And those little strongholds of the devil, those little lies, I see the potential of the word of God. When Jesus says, I can do all things through the Apostle Paul, even in situations where my flesh doesn't like or in trials and great tribulations, I can do all things through Christ by his strength. He's going to strengthen me. I've got to what? I've got to expect that. I've got to believe that. I've got to let that truth make me free. And then all of a sudden I step up out of that. That's the potential. It has to be by the word. You have to base everything about your life. Everything about my life has to be based on what thus saith the Lord. He said, I had to choose. I can choose life or I can choose death. I can choose blessing. I can choose cursing. And in my life, I've made mistakes in the past and I don't want to make those mistakes again. I want to show his presence, don't you? I want to show his covenant. I want people to be able to see that there's something better. There's something greater. There's a hope there. And so he said, you'll know this truth and this truth will make you free. So I got to be in that place. And I got to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you said you're going to keep me. So show me some areas in my life that I'm not understanding the potential of the word of God. Show me what I need to receive. Show me how I need to change my framework of my thinking. Show me how I need to reorganize my catalog of thoughts where they'll be lined up by the word of God and not by history, not by past, not by those things that have happened. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're talking about the word is that truth that makes you free, but that word is your potential that changes everything about your life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look what it says starting in verse 18. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you weren't bought back with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your empty tradition of life, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, verse 19, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So you're redeemed this morning. You're born again, as we'll look at a moment of time, by the word of God. So we know that God said, seed time and harvest is the way it's going to be until the coming of the Lord. He said, see, the seed has the ability to reproduce itself. So you've been redeemed by the seed, by Jesus Christ, by that Lamb of God. And so the victory that Jesus won over hell, death, and the grave, over all the pull and the stronghold of the flesh, the potential of the Word is in you to help you live your purpose. So what we've got to do, we've got to see, here's my purpose. It's way up here. It's not what the world says. It's not what my flesh says. But it's in the seated in the highest place in the heavenlies, right beside Jesus. That's my purpose. And so I'm going to have the potential in direct proportion to God's purpose. Amen. In other words, your purpose is revealed to you. It's placed in you. It's part of that seed, part of the Word of God. But then here comes the anointing and the Holy Spirit to keep you in faith and love by His grace. And it starts revealing to you the potential. In other words, you'll read a scripture that you've read 100 times, but today's the day that you read that word and it just opens up. It's like a beautiful rose when the sun's shining on it. It's all, and it just opens up. There comes the fragrance. You say, oh my goodness, that was there all the time and it was good, but now I know this is mine. Today, this is mine. I have the victory in this area. I have fellowship with God in this area. I have the truth of Jesus in this area. And I'm free now to fulfill my purpose because I got the Word behind my purpose. Amen. See, I knew when I got saved, I was supposed to do some things. You know, I knew I had a purpose, but I had to come to the revelation of the potential to be able to do it. I had to come to God's timing and come to the Word that says, hey, this is your purpose and this is the source of your purpose to be able to accomplish it. Amen. And so I got to have that Word. I've got to see that. Who was the verse 20? Who was verily was the foreordained from the foundation of the world of this earth age, but was manifest in these last times for you, talking about Jesus as that Lamb, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So if my faith and hope is in God, then I'm going to see that I've got a purpose and I'm going to see that he's going to give me the potential. He's going to give me the Word of God that will unleash the power to do it. But see, immediately, if we're not careful, God will show us something and our mind will go into gear. Well, we can't do that. We don't have enough money. We can't do that. We don't have enough influence. We can't do that, 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 can't. We serve a can-do God. Can't shouldn't be in our vocabulary if the purpose is from God. Because if the purpose is from God, then he's going to give the seed. He's going to give the potential. He's going to make it possible. Amen. Look what he says, verse 22. Stay with me just a moment. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another of a pure heart fervently. So we see the faith and love working together again. But we came there for this reason. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's your potential. So you know the truth. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free to have the source, the potential to fulfill your purpose. In other words, find a, when God starts putting something on your heart, maybe he's laying something on your heart for you to start doing. Maybe it's witnessing, testifying. Maybe it's starting a ministry to the elderly or to the less fortunate, whatever it might be. You fill in the blank, whatever it is. Then you say, okay, God, you're giving me this purpose. Now show me the word I can stand on to be able to accomplish it. And so the Holy Spirit, he starts talking to you and he gives you a word. And when you get that word, you put the purpose and you've got the potential, you put it together and you can do it. It's not your will. It's not your work. It's not your way. It's his. So there's no pressure on you. Why do you think that you want to see people saved? Why do you think that you pray so hard? Why do you think that you, when you go around somebody, you've prayed before you ever went there and said, Lord, how can I touch them? It's because that's your purpose. And God's showing you that you have the potential to speak light where there's darkness, to break off strongholds. Amen. And so whatever it is, though, just get a word from God. And as you get that word, then that's going to be the incorruptible word, which is going to loose you, embolden you, empower you to be able to accomplish the impossible. Amen. Okay. So when we're in that place where we know that we've got this purpose, we know that we've got the potential to fulfill it, then we become what God wanted us to be. We become children of Him that bring Him praise. A lifestyle of praise. Let's go to the Old Testament for a second. Psalms 145. Psalms 145. And let's talk about this praise. Psalms 145 and 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name when I feel like it. Huh? Well, sometimes I don't feel like it. Oh, we've been talking about faith and love, haven't we? Okay. So my feelings have nothing to do with it. But I don't want to talk to that person, so I'm going to go around this way. I've avoided a lot of people a lot of times because I was selfish. Lifestyle of praise, because we know our purpose and we got the potential from the Lord. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever, moment by moment. Notice this, verse 2. How often? Every day I will bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever and ever. A lifestyle of praise. You believe you can bring God praise while you're sitting at the dinner table? You can bring God praise when you're sitting there and you're changing the diaper. You can bring God praise when you're washing the dishes. You can bring God praise when you're sitting there holding hands at the table, at the couch, at laying in bed, whatever it is. You can bring God praise. See, everything about your life and my life is about praising God. Everything that you and I enjoy that has been sanctified, it's from God. You can just rest in that. Amen. So I will. I've made up my mind. So I've got to sell out. And my will, I have to see that it has to be my will from my spirit, not my flesh. Your flesh is going to, how many times you just inside you want to praise God, but your flesh is going, I'm tired, I'm hot, I'm hungry, I'm aggravated, whatever. But inside, down somewhere down deep in here, you just got to start praising God. And you start praising God because that will is there. Look what it says. Verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. This is what you do. This is what I do. Verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. This is our purpose. This is our potential. And we accomplish it by a lifetime of praise. One generation. We preached last Sunday night how to be great in your generation. This is how you and I do it, how we accomplish it. Verse 5, I will speak of thy glorious honor and thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. See, the lifestyle of praise, it puts a stop to murmuring. See, Psalms 22 tells us that God inhabits the praise of His people. Well, everything that God does, the devil does. So if God inhabits the praise of His people, if I'm murmuring, I'm really praising the devil. So guess who's going to inhabit that? Guess who's going to be drawn close to that? Positive draws things of the positive, of the Lord. Negative draws the things of the fallen one, the enemy. So I got to see that God wants me to show the next generation that He loves them. And He's the answer. they'll see God more by looking at your lifestyle than listening to your words. You know, you've been around somebody and their words and their works didn't match, and it just turned your stomach. I mean, you prayed for them, but you didn't want to hear what they were saying because there was no power there. There was no truth there. Come on, you're of the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth makes you. Come on. He said, I will speak of thy glorious honor and thy majesty and of thy wonderful works. Verse 6, the men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. See, what you do enables other people to praise God. Right. Have you ever been in a service and you wanted to worship the Lord and you just worshiped the Lord, but you felt there was a hindrance there. There was something that was holding things back, but you didn't let that impact you. You just knew that you were going to worship the Lord. And see what God done, he used you to forge a path. And because you were faithful in that, then you enabled, emboldened, empowered, caused other people to be able to worship. To come to that place of praise. And so we need to see that. So this is what he's talking about. Okay, I know you're getting tired, but Brother Ryan, put Isaiah 43:21. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43, God's talking about his children. And he they're in a place where they are not praising him. They're in a place where everything's completely different. But this is what God said. See, God calls those things that be not as though they were. Even though they weren't doing it, he said, this people have I formed for myself. Now, he's talking about Israel, but he's also talking, this is a type of the church, because you and I are spiritual Israel. We are after Abraham, the father of faith. And so God formed you. You need to rejoice in it. You need to live in that. But look what he said, because God formed you, they shall show forth my... That means you can praise God. Now, and if you read that 43rd chapter, they're doing anything but that. But God wasn't looking at what they had done and what they was doing. He was saying what they were going to do. That's part of the lifestyle of praise. Is don't get hung up on this moment, but come to the truth of what Jesus has and to speak it out. Amen? Okay, let's go to, real quick, Romans chapter 12. Just a couple of scriptures, I'll let you go. Romans chapter 12, you can quote it, verse number 1. Paul makes this statement. You know, you and I, we have a service to the Lord. We have an ability to do something nobody else can do. The angels, just think about how glorious they are, but they can't worship God like you do. They say, holy, holy, holy. But you've been redeemed. You have this covenant with. They don't understand the blood that is on your life, how much Jesus loved you. They look at us and they shake their head. Have you ever thought about it? I mean, Satan drew a third of them away. God judged them. But you and I are sitting here this morning by grace. By grace. Look what Paul says. 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So he's talking to us, the brothers and sisters in the Lord. He said, by the mercies. In other words, this is your channel of being able to do this. This is your avenue. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. From the Greek, it says, which is your logical worship. Praise. So by the mercies of God, I can bring God praise. So I say, God, I'm struggling in this area. This is a stronghold in my life. This is keeping me. I see my purpose. I see the potential of the Word of God, but I'm not able to praise you in this area. So help me receive mercy. Help me to come to that place of truth where I can live my life as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want you dead. He wants you alive. He wants you in this earth right now. And he wants you to show forth his glory, his majesty. Can you believe that? You have to. I have to believe it. Which is your reasonable service. I can just worship God. I can bring Him praise by just living for Him. That's powerful, isn't it? Okay, let's close. Go back to 2 Timothy. And we'll close right there. Look at chapter 4. This is how Paul knew how to live a lifestyle of praise. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. He then told Timothy to preach the word and to know that in the last days there was going to come much deception and all those things. And he told him, he said, you just have to watch. But in verse 8, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, this is so important. This lifestyle of praise is that you and I, that we live our life fully out of God's book. Now, see, a lot of people are going to say, well, the devil cut Paul's head off. Nero had Paul executed. No. Paul lived out of God's book. Remember, he said, for me to die is gain. For me. But he said, for me to live is gain for you. When Paul had done everything he had to do, he what? He offered, he poured out his life as a sacrifice of praise. He lived for God, and now he's going to die for God. See, the devil wants to try to tell you he's controlling things. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to Him. See, the truth is what makes us free. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, what have I done? I have fought a good fight. You know, it's translated race, this same Greek word in Hebrews 12. I fought a good fight. I've run a good race. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. That's a lifestyle of praise. Paul said, I'm not living according to what I want to do or on my timetable. I'm living under the timetable of the Lord. He fully trusted the one who had saved him. And the only way that you and I can come to fully trust the one who saved us is we have got to know the truth that makes us free. But that shows us our purpose, our potential, and it brings praise out of our life. Amen? I can't believe that a glorious God, holy and perfect as He is, that He could get praise from me, from you. That's amazing. That God said that we can bring Him glory. We can cause other people to praise Him. What a wonderful thought. Okay. Brother Ryan, put Ephesians 5:20 on the screen. Ephesians 5:20. We'll close with this verse. Paul here is making a statement about how you and I need to be thankful. Look what he says, giving thanks when I feel like it for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. All right, I want you to go with me. Most horrible time in history that we had known in our sphere of generations. Hitler's trying to take over the world, and he's killing approximately 6 million Jews. But I want you to go with me to Barracks 28. In Barracks 28, there's two sisters, and their dad has been separated from them. And the younger sister, her name is Corey. And you know the story of Corey Ten Boom very well. But she was saved at the age of 5 and gave her heart to Jesus. But here she is. She's in this concentration camp. And her sister says, we need to change her attitude. We need to start giving God praise. And she said, what do you mean? She said, we need to start praising God because we're alive. We know Jesus. We're saved. And so her sister encouraged her, and they start praising the Lord. Well, as they start praising the Lord, there's fleas by the millions in this camp. And she said, well, I'm going to praise God for everything, but I ain't going to praise Him for the fleas. She said, this is the most annoying thing I've ever seen in my life. But as they started praising the Lord, the fleas started increasing. And they just kept praising the Lord. And then all of a sudden, she realized that they had all sorts of time to tell other people about Jesus. These are Jews. They needed to hear the gospel message. Yeah. They get to share Jesus. They get to have Bible reading time. They have freedom and liberty hour after hour because nobody comes in the barracks. Right. And that's when she realized, as God increased the fleas, it kept the German soldiers away. Because one day there was a dispute in the barracks, and one of them joked open the door and hollered for the guard and said, come in here, I want you to settle this dispute between me and so-and-so. And the guard said, I'm not going in there. There's millions of fleas. Giving thanks always. She learned how to give thanks because the fleas that was anointing to the flesh kept the German soldiers out where they could give God praise. And as they gave God praise, they led people to salvation before they went to the gas chamber. Oh, glory. The day's setting. The dispensation of grace, the door is closing. It's closing so quickly. And so it's up to you and I to live a life that causes those who are hopeless to see that there's possibility of something better. All they have to do is to reach out and touch the same Jesus that you know touched you. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you that we can rule in the righteousness of you, Lord Jesus, that you have gave us dominion in your name. I need to come to that truth where I can find my very purpose in every situation, where I can unleash the Word of God that will produce the potential for me to be a praising agent for you. Father, I ask that you would touch this church, this part of your body. And I ask that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we can see truth like we've never saw before. And let us be in that place and that potential of shining light every day. Let it be our will that we will praise you. And that praise will cause people to turn to you. Let it be. Let every person here be blessed. Let them receive the blessing. You've done blessed us with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1. Okay. Oh my. Yes. Blessings, blessings. You've blessed us. You've blessed us. Let us come to that truth and that understanding. We'll be quick to praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come and let God show you just a glimpse of what you need this morning? And as He shows you a glimpse, you can push forward. You can reach forward to the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. And you can see that whatever has happened in your life, that whether it's an annoyance to the flesh, or it's a struggle to the flesh, whether it's a hindrance to the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, that God can use it. And you can find your purpose. You can have the potential of the Word of God to be able to do all things and to bring God praise out of that moment. Would you come this morning? Just lay your heart on the altar and let God lift you up. He loves you so much. He's got more for you than you can even imagine. He's got more for me than I can even imagine. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.